A resilient life. The ability for someone or something to bounce back, to persevere, is called resilience. And we see it everywhere, don't we? We see it in nature. It's the tree that's still standing after the storm. And you have a look, and houses are flattened, typhoons came, and all the other trees have been laid to waste. But there's usually always one left standing, isn't there? It's the rock that sits there on the beach. And even though it has been bashed by waves for thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of years, and all the other rocks have wasted away, it's still standing. We notice it when we smash a cockroach with a shoe again and again. And for some unexplainable reason, it still walks away to terrorize you once more. That's resilience. And it's not just in nature. We see it in people, don't we? We see it in different scenarios, different people. It is a quality that some people have. A fascinating story in a movie about two friends. Their name is Yates and Joe Simpson. And these guys are mountain climbers. And if you've ever seen proper mountain climbing, we're not talking about Table Mountain. I mean, this is they'd set out to climb a sheer rock face of ice in the Peruvian Andes. And it's ice picks. You climb up a little bit. You make yourself a little sort of, you know, a safe place, and you pull each other up. And it is a complicated and extremely dangerous exercise. So there was this huge mountain. They decided to set a camp at the foot of the mountain. They started climbing. They got all the way to the top. And at the top of the mountain, one of them breaks his leg. Now, breaking your leg is not a pretty thing, but you do not want to do it on the top of a thousands of foot high cliff of ice. And so anyway, they come up with a plan, and literally they start moving down slowly, where the guy who hadn't broken his leg literally would lower his friend, and they'd sort of, you know, tie themselves into the rock, and then he'd climb down a little bit, and obviously painstaking and long exercise. And they hadn't actually got very far before a blizzard came. And we're talking about a blizzard where you can't even see a meter in front of you. And what happened was, the guy who broke his leg slipped off the edge of a cliff. And his friend, you know, sort of, you know, latched in and managed to stay holding onto the rope. And his friend was dangling 30 meters below him, just sort of, you know, dangling the rock in the middle of a blizzard. Couldn't hear him, couldn't feel anything. Obviously, a desperate, desperate, desperate scenario. He waited for ages. Eventually, assumed that his friend had died, and cut the rope. And obviously distraught, he eventually, the storm ended his way down to the base camp. And there he actually stayed for a couple of days just to try and get over the trauma of what had happened. Lo and behold, 3 days later, guess who crawls up? Face almost frostbitten off. He had lost in those 3 days a third of his body weight. Do the maths for yourself. A third of your body weight in 3 days. And literally what had happened was he fell, you know, obviously the rope got cut, a little bit surprising if you were on the end of it. He fell into sort of a crevice, couldn't get out, broken leg. Nowhere else to go, nowhere up, a black hole below him. Decided I have no other choice, load himself into the black hole. Somehow sort of found a way out. And for 3 days, he literally dragged himself off the mountain. I mentioned earlier, blizzard, glaciers. He would literally crawl because he couldn't walk because of his leg. And we're not talking about a little break. We're talking about a bad break. Crawled. He'd crawl 20 meters, come to a dead end, have to crawl back. It was a whole maze of glaciers. It was an impossible scenario. In the foothills, there were huge rocks that he couldn't crawl over. He would stand and fall, which would give him a meter or so. Then he would stand up again and fall. He couldn't walk. He couldn't hop. It was a desperate, desperate, desperate scenario. And literally, as his friend was about to pack his bag and go home and tell the rest of the world what had happened, lo and behold, he arrived. And there's a fascinating docudrama all about it. They kind of stayed friends afterwards. I don't know where they are right now. But it's resilience, isn't it? And we see it wherever we look in business. Who's ever heard of Donald Trump? 1991, how long ago was that? 20 years ago. Donald Trump was in a personal debt of $900 million and a business debt of $3.5 billion. And yet, somehow, he made it back. And you know the stories. You've read the books. Walt Disney, Edison, Churchill failed 8th grade 3 times. Doesn't make you feel a little bit better, the teenagers amongst you. And don't use that with your parents. But here's a guy, and you know why he failed? He failed English. I mean, this is the guy that ended up being the Prime Minister of England. And yet he couldn't get through 8th grade because he failed English. But he went on to obviously do great things. We see it everywhere, but do we see it spiritually? As you read through the Bible, every great man and woman in the scriptures was resilient. I think Paul gives a great spiritual definition of resilience in 2 Corinthians. It'll come up on the screen. When he said, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's how Paul lived. And for the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at what it takes for you and me to live a resilient life. And we're going to look at great men and women of the Bible, and we're going to learn from them, and we're going to make decisions together to become more resilient. And today we're going to start off by looking at how resilient people are committed to finishing strong. They're committed to finishing strong because they trust God fully, they fight for their faith daily, and they make a decision never to quit. Have a look in Philippians chapter 1. Resilient people are committed to finishing strong because they trust God fully. You know, resilience is tested in the storms of life, isn't it? That is the commitment to finishing strong, the decision that I'm going to finish strong that helps one persevere. But we cannot do that unless we trust God. And in Philippians 1 verse 3, it says there, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, God is trying to complete something in you that is not related to your circumstance or anything around you. That God is trying to complete something in you that has to do with your faith and it has to do with your character. And those things only grow when they're stretched, when they're challenged, and when they're tested. And in life, there are going to be setbacks along the way. That's just the way that it works. And that's the way that we grow. But when we trust God, it changes the complexion of everything, doesn't it? Changes the way everything looks. And I know, I think I share a lot in common with Greg. Every couple of months, I go through a little bit of a wobbly in my faith and in my life. And where it really comes from is I sit there and I look at the things that I want to achieve in my life, the things that I'd love to see in my marriage, in my family, in the ministry, different aspects of my life, and like most of us, we have great dreams for our own lives and what we'd like to see happen. And I look at that, and then I look at sort of how things have really been going. And the balance sheet often doesn't match up very well, especially in some areas. And when I think about that, I get discouraged, and I get sad, and I get irritable. And it's not very nice to be around me over that, you know, over that period. But you know what wins the day every time? It's God. It's God. When I trust in myself, I live by sight. But when I trust God, I live by faith. And when I live by faith, I look at everything very differently. When I trust God, and I trust that it's His work in me that matters the most, all of a sudden, my whole perspective on everything changes, and I'm able to bounce back. Now, I know that it's easier said than done. And I know that as the level of hardship and the level of difficulty increases, so does temptation to want to take things into your own hands and to live by your own strength. And I want to encourage you, God never forgets about us. We never sort of float under God's radar. That all of a sudden, really bad things are happening, and we think, whoa, God, you know, what's happening here? God never doesn't know what's going on and is never involved. God never for one moment withdraws His love from us. But we need to trust Him. We need to trust that He loves us. We need to trust that He knows what's going on. And we need to trust His plan for our life, especially when it's not going so well. Especially when it's not going so well. I mean, think about it. Name one person in the Bible that had life work out for them exactly the way they planned. Not one. And yet we look at our heroes and we look at what they were able to do and we say that's inspiring, but we must not forget that they went through terrible, terrible times. When setbacks come, it's normal. But when we trust God, we can move forward in faith, can't we? I love Joseph. He's one of my heroes. And certainly his response after decades of slavery and prison is just inspiring. He says in Genesis 50, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Commitment to finishing strong means trusting God fully. Second, resilient people are committed to finishing strong because they fight for their faith daily. Have a look in Romans chapter 10. They're committed to finishing strong because they fight for their faith daily. Romans chapter 10. You know, our faith dries up, doesn't it? Faith is a little bit like sleep. You can't have one good sleep that's going to last you the whole week, can you? Let alone the whole month. And sometimes even one good sleep doesn't even last you the morning. And like sleep, faith is one of those things that needs to be renewed every day. And those who are committed to finishing strong, that's where they get their strength. It's not from holidays. It's not from trying to reduce pressures, and it's not from slowing down, and all of those things are good from time to time, but it's faith that gives us strength. And in Romans 10, Paul tells us where we can get some faith. He says in verse 17, consequently, and there's a whole lot of context, but he says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. You know, we need to fight for our faith daily. And we get that faith from reading the Bible. And if you're low on faith today, ask yourself, how's it going with my Bible study? You know, David's such a great example of this. Was he not a resilient man? As you look through his life, as you look through different things that he went through, a leader of God's people, he was not believed in by his dad. And that was just the start. He was hated by his king. His life was constantly under threat, even by those close to him. He lived in caves with, as the Bible describes, a bunch of misfits. He had it pretty bad, and it wasn't just external things. He had a lot of inner demons to deal with. He was adulterous. He committed murder. He had to deal with his issues with Absalom. He lost a child. His family was kidnapped. This was a man who had been through a lot. But you know what David said? I'll read from Psalm 119. It says, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Though I am lonely and despised, I do not forget your precepts." I love this part. It says, "Trouble and distress have come upon me, but your commands are my delight. Your statutes are forever right. Give me understanding that I may live." Where does resilience come from? It comes from the Word. It comes from the faith we get when we connect with God and His presence. You know, I get sad when I see faithful people fall. I get sad when I see great men and women, people who I look up to, people who have inspired me. I get sad when their hearts grow hard and they choose to walk away from God. I don't know, it disturbs me. It makes me sad. And you know, in all the scenarios that I personally know of or personally have been involved in, you know where it all starts? It starts with the Word. It starts with one's individual time with God when no one else is looking, when the doors are closed and you sit before Him and you communicate. And you know, faith that we need to persevere, it comes from God and it comes from His Word. And when our time in the Word is shallow or it stops, what happens to our faith? Same thing, doesn't it? I know, I must admit, there were times last year where I went through a real crisis in my own faith. And I lost faith in myself. And I lost faith in God and what He was able to do and what He was able to do through me and around me. But again, you know what got me back? It was the Bible. I wish I could say that an angel appeared to me and everything was different, but it wasn't like that. It was the Bible. I opened the Bible and I studied up heart. I studied out in the Scriptures, faith. I looked at Jesus. I looked at brokenness. Right now I'm looking at, again, faith and diligence and mission-mindedness. And you know what the Bible has done? It's renewed my faith. It's changed who I am. It's given me a renewed sense of joy and belief, not only in what God can do through me, but what God can do around me. But it all came from the Bible. You know, the Bible shows us who God is. It shows us what God has done and what He's capable of doing right now in your life. And when you read the Scriptures with faith, it is amazing what happens. And church, if we are going to commit finishing the race strong, we need to keep our faith levels up. And we need to do that by fighting for our faith every day. Finally, and we're going to close after this, resilient people are committed to finishing strong because they make a decision to never give up. Have a look in Joshua 14. It's not nice to say this, but we're a nation of quitters, aren't we? Think about it. How many times do we have to recommit to losing some weight before we actually lose some weight. How many times have you personally decided in your heart that I'm going to start exercising more? And you do it once, do it twice, maybe even three times, and then you stop. When you speak to someone and they tell you that they've given up smoking, what's a normal response? So how many times has this been? And unashamedly, most people say three or four times. We try, and when it gets hard, we give up. We're a nation of quitters. You know how many people I personally know, and I haven't been around many of you, that have before us promised God that they will be faithful to Him till the day they die. They make a promise in front of friends, in front of family, that they will make Him the Lord of their life. And yet, setbacks and trouble comes, they quit. Many. There's many. Church, I don't know about you, but quitting for me is not an option. And I know that there are going to be times in my life when I slow down in my faith. There are going to be times when I walk. There are going to be times when I limp. And I've certainly had those times already. And knowing God, there are going to be times when I crawl. But you know what? I ain't giving up. That's just not an option for me. Think about your Bible heroes. Think about Joseph, Moses. Think about Jesus. Think about Esther, Nehemiah, Paul. All of them had good reasons to give up. And yet, you know what? They didn't. They didn't. And they finished strong because they didn't quit. You know, Moses, he walked for quite a while. For quite a while. Caleb actually walked with Moses for quite a while. 45 years. That he was faithful, he was strong, and yet for 45 years he had to wander around the desert while his entire generation died in front of him. And we read in Joshua 14, what he says is a man of 85 years old. It says in verse 10, "Now then, just as the Lord promised," surprised he could even remember it. It was 45 years before. "He has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out into battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." You know, some of you sitting in this hall are at the beginning of your Christian walk. Others are in the middle. And still other of you have more years behind you than you have in front. The question is, how are you going to finish? How are you going to finish? You know, Napoleon had a marshal that came up to him. He was in the middle of the war. Napoleon fought a great many wars. And a marshal came up to him and said, "General, I fear that the battle is lost." Napoleon looked at him, looked at his clock, looked back at him, and said, "Time for another battle." All a setback is in your life is time for another battle. That's it. That's it. And to commit to finishing strong, in your heart, you must decide that quitting is not an option. It is not an option. Like Caleb, you'll have some wilderness to walk through. Absolutely. Like Moses, there'll be times when in your excitement, you get discouraged. And you walk, and you limp, and you crawl. You can slow down, but never stop. But in order for that to happen, you got to trust the control. That what God cares about most in your life is your faith and your character. And that's the work that that he's trying to complete. In order for that to happen, you need to fight for your faith every day by waking up and opening up his word and getting stuck in. And you need to decide that at times you will walk and at times you will crawl, but you will never, ever, ever give up. Amen. Let's say a prayer. Holy Father, God, we are